So we're breathing each other's air in this. I don't want to get too intimate in the same studio. Normally we're in separate studios.
Normally you're very safely social distanced from me, which is something that we became really aware of during the pandemic. We started talking about social distancing, and then we realised that in certain situations, when you were dealing with an airborne virus like COVID, social distancing becomes a bit redundant if you're in the same enclosed space as someone else for a really long time. And so we started thinking about indoor air quality.
And just to remind people, we talked about the 1.5 metres. That was really about air droplets being spread. But in fact, droplets are not a common cause of COVID spread or probably even influenza spread. It's actually just breathing in and out and talking and sharing the same room. And indoor air quality is really important.
Yeah, and so it's really important for infection control, as we've been so painfully aware of the past few years, but it's actually something that researchers in the space have been pushing for a better appreciation of for like 20 years. But now there's a framework published in the journal Science which outlines what this could actually look like. The lead author is Lydia Morovska.
This is a pressing issue, but it has been a pressing issue for a long time. The pandemic brought focus on indoor air quality. So this is that moment that we are being heard.
Have we lacked technology up until now as well? Has that been part of the challenge?
There is an element of technology in that sense that we cannot monitor indoor air quality in the same way as we monitor outdoor air quality. Outdoor air quality, as you know, is regulated. We have monitoring stations around the country. Based on monitoring in these selected locations, we can then model and we can derive an understanding or assessment of air quality around the state or around the urban area. But we cannot do it like this in relation to indoor environment because we cannot predict based on measurements here in this room what will be the concentration of pollutants even in the room next door, not to mention in a different building. We need to monitor air quality in each space of a public building, which means it's a lot of monitoring and therefore it has to be done in much more pragmatic, simple way.
Monitoring every single room in an indoor environment sounds expensive.
Well, you may think so, but on the other hand, we already have certain monitors in every space. Like, for example, smoke alarms are in every room. So we are not talking about significantly more expensive technologies. Also, carbon dioxide sensors are already in mechanically ventilated modern buildings.
So talk me through the main pillars of the framework that you've sketched out in this new paper.
We've sketched this around three pollutants and one parameter. The first one is PM2.5, which is particulate matter smaller than 2.5 micrometers. Out of all the pollutants, this is the most significant pollutant in terms of health risk. There have been many studies demonstrating this. We already have WHO guidelines. So this is one pollutant. The second pollutant is carbon dioxide. It's already monitored in many places within mechanical building system. It's not measured typically in naturally ventilated buildings, but these technologies are very well developed. Carbon dioxide as such and its concentrations are not necessarily a health risk. Even increased concentration, which we face in indoor areas when there's not sufficient ventilation.
It's more of a proxy, isn't it, for the sorts of other things that could be in someone's exhaled breath?
Exactly. This is a proxy because together with carbon dioxide, also pathogens are emitted. So if we are infected, bacteria and viruses are emitted as well. So if the concentration of carbon dioxide is high, likely concentration of pathogens is high. And because carbon dioxide is very easy to measure, but real-time measurements of pathogens, it's really not possible. So carbon dioxide serves as a proxy for infection transmission. But carbon dioxide, the third one is carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is recommended to be monitored in places where combustion is taking place, indoor places, or in places where outdoor concentration of the gas exceeds the national regulations. If neither of this is the case, then there's no need to measure carbon monoxide. And the parameter which is also recommended is ventilation rate.
What do we have in Australia when it comes to standards? Are there any of those four pillars that we currently have in any sort of settings?
No, we don't. What we have are national construction codes. So national construction codes are, of course, very important, but this is something which we use and need at the time of building design. But these codes don't really apply to building operation.
This is quite technical. It affects people's daily lives and their health, but we feel very far away from these sorts of regulations as individuals. What can individuals do to interact with this work that you're doing?
We may not be as far as it appears from these regulations, and this is thanks to the pandemic. How many people right now carry with them CO2 low-cost sensor? Well, I have one in my handbag, which goes with me everywhere, but you may say that that's not surprising because this is the area I work with. But basically, in any meeting, larger meeting, a room, there are always people who carry these sensors with them, and these are not people who work in this area. People more and more realize the significance of good air quality and realize the problem with infection transmission. So this is such an immediate look. You look at the CO2 sensor. If the concentration is elevated, it means there's a problem. Am I going to ask for actions to improve ventilation? I often do. Others do this as well. Or I'm going to put a mask. So we are not that far right now from a society to understand the significance of this. But there are buildings which are a problem buildings, and these are naturally ventilated buildings, in particular schools in Australia. Most schools are naturally ventilated, which means relying on opening windows. And if windows are closed because it's too cold, too hot, too noisy, too unsafe, windows are closing. Naturally ventilated buildings are a problem, and these designs will have to change in the future.
Distinguished Professor Lydia Morowska, who's the director of the International Laboratory for Air Quality and Health at the Queensland University of Technology.
And Lydia, of course, has been pushing this issue now for years with colleagues from around the world, and originally published in Science to promote this issue that it's being spread by aerosols. Well, that's the health report for this week.
It is indeed. If people want to listen to more of our voices, and I don't know why they wouldn't, they can, of course, go and listen to What's That Rash? There's our episode this week on restless leg syndrome, and as I mentioned before, for also a whole episode on Kate Middleton's cancer announcement.
And you don't have to be pilly-wally to listen.
No, indeed. We'll catch you next week.
See you then.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.